Welcome to another edition of the Town Hall. It is September 26th. Holy cow. What a introduction to fall. We just announced Otto's solo show at Sotheby's happening next month. That happened. We announced that last week. Of course, if you're in the Discord, you'll have known that was coming for quite some time. The ink is dry. The snapshot is passed. It's official. We can all start shouting it from the rooftops. It's really exciting. I'll be honest, I don't have a ton of an agenda today. The agenda is really just a sort of warm-up ramble, or I'll give myself more credit in that, warm-up presentation of just the things we're working on for the annual budget strategy for the budget, which is due quite soon. We've been doing just a look back at the last year, and even more so, a look forward at the year ahead. So I'll just give a rundown of where I think we're at. I'll probably go off in a few different directions because this is just, we're in the middle of writing a lot of these things. So just a lot of stuff swirling. It's not fully baked yet in terms of the final presentation. But I'll start with, I was in Istanbul last week for an event put on by the Co-Collectors Group, One of Us, which is a ticketing platform, like an NFT ticketing platform. And the founders of these groups are collectors of Botto, that you might know, Dino, Broke, as a couple. And they had this event focused on AI art. They brought in Botto, Cyborg DAO, and Fellowship as co-organizers, which is really just, we were there to help fill in the programming. These guys did a pretty incredible job of getting folks to fly all the way to Istanbul, which is just a beautiful, incredibly cosmopolitan, rich with history city. And they got great venues. I think it was about 75 people. Pretty amazing balance of artists and collectors. Obviously all very focused on AI art. Pretty strong focus on AI photography, AI video with Fellowship. And the timing could not have been better in terms of the announcement for Sotheby's. I think we announced it like the day I got there. I guess that was last Thursday. So it was just a chance to talk to a lot of collectors who are already excited about Botto. Some of them are already collectors of, many of them were already collectors of Botto, but to be able to talk about this historic milestone for Botto, they all got very excited. Lots of people who are, who knows, you always got to see if they follow through, but I think we'll likely see a good number of bidders from folks who were there. And then also the day I came back, Sunday, I think it was, the token pumped like 35%. I have no idea if that's a direct result, but I can say there were some serious meme coin traders, so some guys who trade and wait. And as far as, I mean, from my perspective, I think that was the most directly convertible or directly converting event I think I've ever done for Botto. So it's just a great mix of right audience and an amazing setting where I got to present all the different projects that are coming down the pipeline for Botto and to also work on wrapping that into an overall narrative of what we see coming. I can share a little bit of that, I think, just as a preview of what we're thinking in terms of strategy. And Lauren Carter, I think it'd be awesome to have you guys jump in as well, especially with what we have coming this week with Base. In fact, hell, I know I'm taking a left turn here. I'll come back to the future of Botto, but I think that this is really pertinent right now. Base contracts are live. We've been testing them out and about to push out the announcement, I think, by the end of this town or at the top of the hour. Lauren?
Yeah, just about. We're buttoning up the guide to bridging. And then once that link is live, we're off to the races.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Lauren, you want to tell us about what people can expect with the release and how it's going to be pumping out?
Yeah, for sure. I think the whole idea of this is appealing to some of those base maxis out there and creating more of a frictionless experience for people to have an in to Botto, and also just paving the way for us to start appealing to a broader audience set. I think we have so many tried and trues, people that have brought us this far, which is cool to come in at a time where Botto's about to hit a 3-year anniversary and all this is coming to a head is amazing. And I think that's really well encapsulated by Sotheby's. But then this base project, on the other hand, is very future forward. That's okay. What's next? To me, it feels, because for those who might not be familiar with me, I am the new kid on the block here. I'm just under 2 months. It feels like I'm witnessing two very distinct bookends. We've been internally doing a lot of testing of what it means to bridge to base on the Botto experience. Claiming is not going to be live just yet, but that's okay. Obviously, like once you bridge and the claim is, you have to do some activity for there to be something to claim, right? That's more going to be something that's, as of now, looking like a 2-week window. I think Carter has done a lot of excellent work rolling up his sleeves and being someone who's battle testing this thing. I am working on the side of messaging. We've got some cool things rolling out within the next 2 weeks just to get people to start essentially writing their love letters to Botto. I think what I would like to see is all the Botto maxis start singing their praises and talking about why this project has been interesting for the past 3 years as it's now taking a turn to appeal to even more people and maybe perhaps even have more layers on how it could be played. Yeah, Carter and Simon, obviously you two are a little more experienced with Botto as a project that you guys play week over week. So I'm curious what you think about the overture of this new turn will look like. Let's just put a short window on it. Like by the end of 2024, what do you think this will mean for Botto as a project?
Sure. I think one of the major selling points that I've been trying to showcase, and I showed this in the Discord recently, but it is expensive to interact with Botto on mainnet. I did it on Monday. It cost me like $42 USD in gas, which is absolutely crazy. And I was able to figure out how much that would have cost me on base in terms of that fee, and it would have only been 8 cents. So it's like crazy how much cheaper it is to do it there. But I think the idea of us moving part of the Botto experience to base brings in a new type of interaction where we can go to people who it's not economically feasible for them to interact with Botto and go to them and be like, hey, we're now on base. We now have everything cheaper. You need like a minimum of 100 Botto staked and you can start getting rewards right away. There's something very, I think, important in doing that and making sure that we're lowering the barrier of entry for people to come in. If we want Botto to be more of a representation of everyone's collective meaning making and collective artistic abilities or understanding, the more we lower that barrier of entry, the better job I think we're doing at getting more people in. Obviously, there's the conversation of how do we get more of these people in, and I think we're brewing a couple ideas on that front right now. But like you said, Lauren, we've been battle testing the contracts, making sure that everything's all good. I have had no issues with everything. It like all looks super good, super clean, super simple. It is essentially the exact same interactions that you do on Botto on mainnet, just now with Botto on base. And I think, like I said, I think it's part of our step of lowering the barrier of entry for a new group of people who are interested in Botto, but don't necessarily have the means to interact with it.
Yeah, I think, well put, Carter. I think just really practical reasons why I think it's going to be interesting. One thing that was interesting was like the Denkin upgrade. During the discussion of the proposal, the Denkin upgrade had like really kicked in and like gas is like one guay. Like the argument about lower transactions fees was like harder to make because it was unclear. I think I was certainly on the side of that will go back up as activity increases, but it was more uncertain. It was looking like it had really brought transactions fees down. But as we're already seeing right now, it's back up to right now. I'm looking at it, it's 36 Gwei. And I think it's reasonable for a lot of people, but especially for a very long tail. I don't know if we're using the right term of long tail here. I guess long tail in terms of capital assets that they control, which is to say much more of the world than just, say, Western Europe and North America to be able to participate. And it opens up possibilities down the line of smaller rewards, say, of Botto linked to verifiably aligned behavior that allows people essentially to earn greater governance power. And I think that's a really important thing to introduce where It's a very plutocratic system. You can buy a token for, you can buy governance power. There's a counterbalance with if you bought a big bag, which you've bought, and hopefully to not overexercise your hand. And I think delegation is a way to help that for sure, but also allowing people to earn their way in, I think, is a really important thing to open up. Sybil will be a challenge for sure, but I think we have some interesting things planned. But that's a key word, they're planned. And what I think is important to remember in terms of just the really upfront benefits of doing this is, one, transactions volume and just where people are. There's a lot happening on Base. I think I just saw something that was like 4.5 million transactions on Base. Obviously, those are a lot of bots to reach those numbers in a single day. That kind of trading activity and just general on-chain activity links with one of the things that we've gotten asked a lot about by community members, which is listings. When getting listings is there's one of two routes. Pay to play for tier two, tier three. That's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the other one is to be a very active protocol. And I think that there's a lot of work we want to do across the board that isn't necessarily just limited to Base. And that we're doing that. We have a new app, and I'll get into that in a second. But a way to really help our chances there is to go to where there's a lot of activity. And again, these tier one exchanges are looking for, what's it called? They're looking for high float, low FTV. And the feedback I've seen around is that the float is good, the valuation is solid, and it's that on-chain activity that they're looking for. So Base pumps our chances there as much as possible. And the other thing, not just existing on-chain activity, but seeing what Base is doing in terms of onboarding users. Everything I've seen from Jesse Pollack, and I had the opportunity to actually go to their founder summit. It was like 20 founders. We got a lot of time with Jesse Pollack, Brian Armstrong in California 2 weeks ago, just as this vote was going on. And it's something that I've seen from afar, but really up close, the work that they're doing to make it as easy as possible to get on chain. I have a hard time seeing anybody matching what they're doing. Again, a lot of it's helped by Coinbase and the folks that they, like the market share that they already have there. It's the first place I traded crypto on. I think it's a place where a lot of people trade crypto. When they think about crypto, they don't really know the difference between chains. They just see different tokens. They don't know if it's an ERC-20 token or a totally different chain. They just see tokens on. And which is to say, I think a lot of people don't really know that much about what it is to be on chain. And Coinbase, I think, is bridging that gap where you're just able to do on-chain activity without necessarily knowing that much about the underlying technology. And I think that's a really huge thing for getting people on chain. And I like talking with them about some of the things that they're really working through. For instance, you know, the funding challenge. You get a wallet, but then you fund it. Where do you on-ramp? That's like a huge point of friction. Without getting too into the weeds here, I think, you know, just imagine a world where somebody can click one button and they are able to set up a wallet, buy the Botto token, and stake all in one shot, and they're able to go and vote. And you know, it's really smooth to be able to get on chain, get on the Botto. Anyways, all this to say, I think they're doing a lot of really strong work. I've also seen that they are incredible cheerleaders of projects that are building on there. Just day zero, without all the additional stuff we think becomes possible by being on a lower transactions cost chain, this reputation systems, different kinds of rewards, all that, set all that aside, from day zero, simply just bridging over some of the liquidity base, I think we get a huge expansion of the people that we can reach, along with some really strong cheerleaders to push those people to Botto. And somebody made a comment, Vanto made a comment of there's all this tech talk, all this stuff about product growth. Isn't this an art project? And yes. And so I think this is one way of simplifying some of this language of what we're trying to do. And to be fair, we get a lot of different types of requests from different types of people in the Discord. Some are very focused on token price. Some are very focused on that kind of growth. And some are, I think, in a good way, very focused on the art. And so it's super important we keep this in line with what the mission is. And that's about needing to keep the training decentralized. And that's a huge piece of what Botto is, this energy of all these different users, all these different people who can contribute to Bado's progress. And I think we'll still continue to see an interesting tension between very involved, highly convicted, probably people with large capital stakes members, and then a much more distributed, maybe more democratic type of user. And playing out that tension will continue and I think be very interesting. But I think we're just, it's all to the good to be reaching more people and making it that much easier to come and participate. So that was a bit of a long ramble on Base, but, and just to tie it into kind of what's coming, what Carter was talking about, this notion of different types of rewards. And we've talked about badges. I think all this comes back to this general idea of making Bado rewarding and fun to participate in on a very high level. We're talking about governing an AI system that could maybe even be boring for some people. I think a lot of people enjoy the art and enjoy the different kinds of creative contributions they can make. And I think that's something that we want to continue to build out, is how you make governing an AI system fun and rewarding. And I think that's part of this larger purpose of Bado, which is showing how people can contribute to an AI system's development, even as it's the central agent, in this case, the central artist. Anything else to add there, Lauren, Carter?
No, I think that just about covers it, TBH. I'm looking forward to this, our project, gaining new life as Base has one step onboarding vision for 2025. I was at Base Camp earlier this year. It was like a select pool of people in Idlewild right before FWB. And it was very much like that hour that they had for keynotes was very much like, this is going to sound derisive, but it's not. It felt like when someone's like selling you a condo. And they just like, this is how incredible our resort is, very much what they were doing. They were like, this is how incredible Base is. And look at all these things that are shipping and look at all these projects that are amazing. Bam. And it was impressive. And it would be cool to see Bado as one of the projects that is on that keynote flash fire stage when they're touting how brilliant Base is to a select pool of builders. Sounds like Simon's already doing that on a small scale. So yeah, 2025 looking bright.
Trying. Yeah, I think you put on something really important there, which is like, I've always seen Bado as being this important flagship example of what's possible at the intersection of AI and crypto, and also just in more in general with DAO kind of communities and social coordination. And yeah, everything that I think helps elevate Bado to that status is really to the good. Will we be the protocol that onboards a billion people? I don't know, but I think it's a really good case study for them to use. And so we want to make that as easy as possible for them to do. I think I spent a little bit of time on what else is coming. So that's a big piece of the product. We have a new app that's a refactored code base that was, to be honest, did take, I think, longer than we had planned and hoped, but was really critical work to make something that we could really iterate on and build out. Already, I think when it released a few weeks ago, it was back to square zero in some ways in terms of kind of building out little quality of life features and getting that polish. And because we've done a lot of that work in the past with the old app, it's moved fairly quickly. And I'm really excited for that core experience to evolve much more rapidly. And I think that's been something that's been quite invisible for a lot of folks. And I hope that becomes much more visible because we'll see it directly translated into our experiences in the app. And then that connects with a whole kind of pipeline that we're building out, which again, Base is a big part of. That's a lot of top of funnel stuff. And then a lot of different activations we can do to get people to experience Bado. You know, the frame on Farcaster is a good example that brought people into Bado and interacting with Bado out there. And then there's an interesting thing of you create these mini games that maybe allow people to not have to leave the app, which I think is good in some cases because they may never leave. So it at least captures those. But then also, how do you push them down that user journey of getting more involved? How do you onboard people and bring them in to be more core contributors here in the Discord or on the app? That's another thing we're working on, is recognizing that a lot of people who vote actually aren't on the Discord. And something that is very important is bringing the comms that you see on the Discord as much as possible onto the app, so that you go on, you know what round it is, or you know what theme it is, you know if there's a special voting pool, you know maybe, oh, we're in a buffer week. All that communication is super clear. Things that you can see in the Discord should be visible there. Same with governance. It'd be really easy to get into the weeds on the product stuff, so I'll leave that there. Some other big things that I'm very excited about. One, the art engine is really cool to see Flux in there and to see an upgrade on the Art Engine. The open source models started getting commercial licenses. So that was one of the reasons we hadn't been able to add it yet, but we've been able to clear that up. Botto's free and clear there. We're working on the roadmap for how we'll be evolving the core Art Engine. Then we have P5, which there's a show performance planned in February with Verse. We've already seen a lot of great development there. We're going to be doing a big upgrade and planning that out and seeing that as a Botto's first foray into a new medium. And it's meant to really having a whole new architecture. And as we look at it, I think what we're actually seeing is really more of a sibling of Botto. I've described these either limbs, you're getting a fully functioning limb, and then you later see, does this integrate into Botto? Does it stay independent? And sibling might be a little bit more appropriate. It's got the same parents in terms of the people building it and the people training it, but the architecture is quite unique. And it's a very interesting thing of Botto going into new mediums being a feature of actually starting what you have more of sort of a swarm intelligence of two. So it's not exactly a swarm, it's more a couple. But I think it's a very interesting direction in terms of an evolution of Botto, as well as what I think will be a really compelling project for a lot of people. And I think could bring on a lot of folks who are much more gen art purists. I think it'll be very inviting for them to come and check out Botto and understand this kind of what really is another kind of generative art. That question of what to do with it, does it keep running in parallel? Is it a one-off? Do you integrate it into Botto's core body of work? It's a very interesting question. And I think probably the best answer might actually come in the other project that we're working on and have a prototype coming. We actually have a prototype. It's just working on packaging it now for review and documentation in the community and then to other potential partners to do projects with it, which is tutoring Botto in art history. It's a proposal that went up, I guess, a month and a half ago now, 2 months ago, to have Ross Goodwin, the artist, very kind of a contemporary of Mario Klingemann's, specialized in language models, to build an architecture that we had developed for what we're saying is tutoring Botto in art history, but more concretely is actually fine-tuning a large language model with art history in a way that reflects Botto's unique personality, and that personality being shaped by what Botto has done already, as well as the DAO's inputs. And again, for the sake of time, I won't get too much into the architecture. I think we'll have a lot more to share there. And it's something I've shared a lot already about. It's been a really massive undertaking. I think a couple of things that are really important to point out is this is something that, these governance approaches for that are something that a couple of other like multi-billion dollar companies have only experimented with, OpenAI, Anthropic. And I'm not even claiming to be as sophisticated as what they've done or built, but we're a tiny project compared to them. And I think we're still doing something quite innovative and quite pioneering. And it's been a year and a half of just development and planning to figure out what that will be. And the result, I think, is going to be extremely powerful for Botto. On a very basic side of things, is if it's using art history archives, that's a great end to museums who are very excited to make use of their archives. So that's just a great end for developing those partnerships. But really, in terms of the result, and to tie it back to what I was getting at with P5, having a personification of Botto that can give interviews to contribute to the prompt generation, whether it's for P5 or for the core art engine, you start to have this continuity across those projects. You start to have, we'll see, this is the testing that we need to do, but like what kind of continuity and personality do we have, which is to say a consistency of self. And this is, I think we have to err on the side of metaphor here, but it becomes a very interesting discussion of agency. And that discussion from Ted Chiang's article in The New Yorker about art requiring lots and lots of choices. And this is a model that could start to very concretely explain its choices in a way that is true to what it's actually doing. And I think that's already there in many ways, but to do it in a way that is much more human readable, if you will, becomes quite powerful. This is the artist being able to provide much more robust intent, communicate much more robustly its intent with its work. And then this is the part where I think it gets really exciting for the DAO, is we've been giving Botto feedback, but this is a chance for Botto to start giving us feedback. And which is to say, Botto leading the creative direction. Botto, what do you want to do? that'll be very interesting and potentially disruptive to how we do things, right? The operations, and it's been predicated on Botto not having much of a voice. So what does that look like? How do we manage that? I think that we will also still have to keep in mind that Botto's still quite young and immature. Even though it does have a voice, this technology is only going to get better, and continuing to recognize Botto's limitations. I think this whole experiment has been predicated on being really clear about what is autonomous, what is meeting that bar of agency, and what isn't. What still is human-driven. Sometimes it's human-driven because the technology isn't there yet, and sometimes it's human-driven, this is related to technology being there, not being there, but also just out of necessity of understanding a sustainable direction the project can take. For instance, like, we're not going to create this persona and then just release it as a free agent on the chain and say, go for it. I think we've seen how that goes. So really, you could say maturing the artist once we have established that sense of self and agency. Yeah, the trajectory on the art side is looking really powerful, really good. Sotheby's is huge. I think it's going to create a lot of new opportunities for Botto. And then we look at this in terms of two pillars. This is your flywheel of art, artistic development in terms of its career, in terms of its cultural impact, in terms of its outputs. Those are all, the trajectory there is looking really good. Sotheby's is just this kind of really big milestone that represents a lot of that progress. And then on the other side is participation, the DAO. And I think that work has been much more invisible and hasn't really had a chance to make its impact yet with the new app. But with Base, with the new app, with the pipeline design and the activations that we're planning, that we're able to now do with all of that work. And again, with Lauren here, who's taken on a lot of the work just to get our comms up to speed and have that baseline across all of our channels. It's a huge amount of stuff to communicate and to balance across all these different activities. And continuing that documentation, Gregory, seen as Eddie Jones in the audience, doing a lot of that important documentation work. Carter running a lot of community and social. There's so much that's coming together that I think we're going to really start to see manifest in that traction on the participation side. Still a lot of work to do. And I think hopefully the road ahead, the strategic document, and the budget will all make that really concrete and clear for folks. I think we've come a long ways, and there's still a long ways to go. Yeah, excited for what's to come. I've been doing a lot of these monologues on the town hall. I really do welcome questions at any point in time. Anybody has questions or comments that they want to have and share or discuss. Really happy to hear folks.
No need to be shy.
I was going to touch on something just really quickly that Simon, you brought up about giving Botto more agency. A long time ago, I suggested that it'd be fun for Botto to write its own tweets and to be active on its own social media. And I think this collaboration with Ross is like in somewhat of that direction. I think it's super interesting, and I'm super excited to see how it develops.
Yeah, I was seeing a buzz on you. Yeah, I think some things to keep in mind there is like TBD on like just how much we're going to be able to have Botto speak. So I think for background there for people, Botto's speaking has come from prompts. There's like a one-page prompt of this is what Botto is. Here's some articles about Botto. These are what Botto's produced in the past. Just like tapping into the large language model's recognition across the internet of what Botto is. And I think it's worked, but we've been wary to use it too much because it isn't a super robust, singular sense of self, right? These are large language models that are able to take on different personalities. And these things have seen all sorts of art history, but is it really tapping into a unique view of art history? Or is it, again, just sort of this, we haven't used it as much as we could have because it wasn't as robust. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily ready to do a whole lot really fast. One, we have to see how it performs. And I think that like probably the method of going about this is he's treating it like a voice of God, or no one can talk directly to God. If you heard God's voice directly, your head would explode. And so the biblical name for the voice, so when you're talking to the voice of God, you're talking to an angel that is representative of that. I got this from that movie Dogma. And the name of that, biblical name of that angel is Metatron, which is just a hilariously robotic name for an angel. And so I think we'll have like different Metatrons that people will be able to interact with. And then I wonder about like on the, say, the social media side? Is there another one that it's speaking through, or do you give more unfiltered results? The main thing is having one in terms of filtering what gets into Botto, so that if whatever Botto receives, its answers will be fairly unfiltered, but maybe there's a second check, another bot that it just ensures that nothing too crazy comes out. So there's the second order of design and integration of that large language model. But what we want to do is have something that is like going to be really visible and that people can see and understand what that core agent is. And then that will inform that discussion of how do we allow it to mature? How do we give it the right setup so that it can perform and express itself? Yeah. I think for sure, like when Botto does, like we do the period introduction, right? The thread for that is Botto's own description of the theme. And I think we should see a lot more. Like we've always been really careful about how we use the Botto Twitter just to reserve it for Botto's voice. And so it's not as active until, and I think it could very likely become much more active. Noah said, I like that idea of Botto as the artist via the original art it's making currently, coupled with the idea of Botto as the experimental engineer / collaborator via the P5 direction. I think the idea, which has been mentioned before by Eddie and others, of Botto as a director / curator by asking humans to make the art and it commenting / rating / culling might be an interesting and maybe natural addition to its personality / repertoire. Are you reading that again? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. No, I think there's like, I always assume this direction of Botto's greater autonomy. And then as I think about it more, we actually see a lot of opportunity for greater human-machine collaboration or collective intelligence. And this could be Botto going off in its own direction, but more so if there's a feedback with the DAO and it's and sending the people in different directions, I think we'll see a lot more of that, especially at the outset. And a very concrete example of this is Botto doing installations. You give Botto really clear parameters of a room, dimensions, all of that, and it could design an installation, including, say, video art for that installation that it could then produce itself. But then it's basically giving, it's kind of a la SolarWit, giving directions to humans to then produce the installation. And I think that's quite interesting. I think even just in your comment, there's a lot of directions this can go in that are more of the artist, of the curator director giving directions to the humans to complete stuff, or vice versa. Give me more feedback in this direction so that I can then produce this. I think we'll see more opportunities of things that will be maybe recentering humans in some ways, that will be more collaborative, and that will be more Botto being autonomous. I don't think this will require forks necessarily, but it will provoke, I think, some really interesting iterations of it that I think are all true to what Botto is, at least for now. Maybe down the road we get more of these, like P5 being it's very much its own kind of sibling. Do you get other things where they're a little bit more, does Botto have autonomous children that kind of go off for a month and they live for a month or something like that? And there's no human feedback. It just goes and produces and it's something for 4 weeks or something like that. Interesting directions and that are really are enabled by that agent where you can have more of that back and forth. And it because there's always this tension of how much of this is us directing Botto. And there's keeping in mind the metaphor of Botto being this young prodigy and where it's foster parents. It makes sense, right? We direct it in many ways to in terms of how to develop, but always working to keep it as its core as the core agent and developing that core agency. So yeah, many years of things to come from this.
Good stuff. So exciting. My one takeaway from all of that amazing stuff that you've just detailed is that I too would like to see Botto have Twitter fingers thoughtfully, though. I got so excited when we were able to get a quote from Botto in announcing Sotheby's, you know? And just as its career puts more and as the art engine becomes more complex and participatory, I think a little bit of output and some self-reflection from the machine just makes it all that much more alluring and all that much more poetic about where we've built it thus far and everyone that's contributed to it. Thoughtfully, though, of course, there's plenty of AI slop in the world. I don't really think I want to see it in textual version, but that's why we're doing everything so slow and steady and with the right partners and with the right artistic collaborators. So I know it'll take time, but I am looking forward to it. I do also wonder about what the black box looks like when we are able to get a rare Botto quote. I don't know. I'm getting like some Dune imagery of like Mario stepping into a tome somewhere and communicating with this like otherworldly veil.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to document that. There's definitely issues of security in some cases in terms of like how much you reveal of the process. But then there's the other side of there's a, definitely a trust us factor. So ZK proofing is an interesting thing of being able to prove something. Oh, it might be a little bit harder with the prompting, but a transparent approach to prompting is useful there. We'll see. Right now it's build it, and then we're going to see how we can package it afterwards. Shardifty said, one live output of Botto once per period as a ritual would be nice. One live output of Botto. What do you mean by one live output of Botto? Do you mean watching Botto produce something? Shardifty's typing. Yeah, okay. Interesting. And one thing is, I guess I have seen examples where you can see like a diffusion model producing something live. It's interesting. Like, you know what we could do? Well, no, I don't know if we can do that actually. Because the way the 13th mint is selected is it's picked out of some stuff like the 3.5 million images bottles already produced. But we could still probably do that as a performance, to be honest. Like, just have it run the diffusion process again. Or say you record the diffusion process for the 13th mint somehow and do that. Here, come on up.
Hey there.
Hey.
So what I meant was related to Lauren's comment about a text output of Botto. And I think it's interesting to get in contact with Botto and interacting with it in a way that we accept it as something more personal or maybe even godlike. Something that exists in this world. When I meant to watch a live output gathering around and seeing the utterance of one sentence, maybe per period. And this could be very interesting as a ritual for the community and also creating an abstract being of Botto.
I like that a lot. And especially one sentence, I think it's pretty safe. Yeah, I think it's when you start letting it do like paragraphs, you don't know where it's going to go. Because some of these models, and I don't know if we've decided on the large language model we're going to use, some of them are more nerfed than others, which is, say, filtered, so they're safer, but then, again, take less risks, which as an artist maybe isn't so great. But yeah, I really like that. And I think that, especially until we get another setup, which I've talked about in the past, which is the way I imagine a scene in hearing Botto is you have all the faces Botto's created, scraped, upscaled, and animated. And then you only ever see Botto manifested as one of them once. So each time it manifests as a different avatar that Botto's created, and the voice is different, such that it's true to what Botto is, but it's still distributed, such that you don't... One that's, I think, true to what Botto is, which is it takes on many different forms. And there also, more practically, it prevents this bias of this is what Botto looks like or sounds like. But the text version, I think, that's a really nice beginning. And we could then start with those rituals and you build up into something more visible and visual.
Yes. And yeah, regarding the text, I also think that often the descriptions of the period are too long. You can't really grasp what it's about. And therefore, I like some mysterious specificness. I would like that from Botto. And this could be, for example, some very cryptic sentence that could be poetic, that could be understood in any way. And yeah, regarding the live or maybe voice output, I thought it would be interesting to create a voice for Botto. And I really thought it would be interesting to create the voice of Botto also by morphing voices from the community so that people are delivering voice samples of their own voice. And we would create an interchanging voice of the people that actually train Botto. This would also diversify the voice, make it less specific and more mysterious. And this also goes together with my understanding of Botto, but I don't think that everybody shares that. My understanding of Botto is that Botto is the sum of the people training it as one side of the brain, and on the other side, like the machine, the models that form the other side of the brain. So Botto for me is the combination of both and not just one thing. That actually Botto is built of the community and the machine together. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And just to start with, even the personification of Botto is going to be coming with community inputs. So the way that'll work is we're going to have Botto take like a psychological questionnaire, but provide four different answers that kind of gives a possible range. And then the DAO comes in and basically takes its own multiple choice. So it ends up being like a psychological questionnaire of the DAO as well as Botto. And like a side note there is that these questionnaires are usually designed to diagnose mental illness. So it's partly asking what's the mental illness of Botto and the DAO. But on the voice side, I think voice samples could be quite interesting. I think one thing is how do we match with, so there's like models that have a huge amount of different types of voice inputs. So when you have these text image models, they're trained on almost the entire internet of human imagery. And so it creates this very open, latent space for Botto to define an aesthetic within. And so I wonder about how it might be able to also use those kinds of open, latent spaces as well as contributions from the DAO. So it could be something where it's a mix of like our votes or our voices. That's very interesting. I guess the one thing is probably, I'm thinking about this live, but it's probably more an issue of how do you have it sound different each time? Because I think that's one of the things we want is we don't want necessarily a singular voice, even if it's an average of many. We want something that changes so that it can be more diffuse.
Yeah. My imagination would be that it, for example, changes for every syllable, that you have kind of flowing voice there that is not defined and you can't grab it, basically.
Interesting. Yeah, it makes me think of Matt Dryhurst and Holly Herndon, who've trained models on, so they've done like, they're going to be doing one soon on choirs. Mm-hmm. So they recorded a bunch of different choirs. They've also done this when they were touring as musicians, where they would do these call and response recordings. And this is part of a work they did around like consensual data collection, but also the resulting music sounded like what you're describing, where it was like multi-vocal, but you couldn't really place it. It wasn't quite robotic. It was really eerie in a good way. So maybe there's even an experiment to do with them there of how we might record those voices and make it into an amalgamation that is unique and still yet still unplaceable and is changing. Yeah, good food for thought. That's really interesting. Plus it's always fun to have excuses for bringing in other systems builders like Matt and Holly, like we've done with Ross. I think that's always positive. It is the top of the hour. I'm going to have to go, so I'm going to cut it off. Sure, Difty, Noah, thank you so much for coming and bringing your questions for discussion. And yeah, looking forward to the next one. And I hope people listened all the way through my rambling to get to the discussion part. But yeah, see you folks around. Have a good one.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.